Well, hello, and welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast focused on spiritual warfare. I'm Steve Hemphill, and Battle Plan is an ongoing discussion of how we put our faith into action. Our website is active-faith.org. My email is stevehemphill1@me.com. I'd love to hear from you. Today, we have a special guest from Iowa. I'll let her tell her city and background, but this is Kirsten Novak. I know she ordered some things from our website in the past, and then recently I spoke at a church near her. She drove a long way just to come over and get to be there for part of a live session or two. And her group that came with her, we actually went out to eat and visited a few minutes. And she just has some amazing stories that go with what we've been teaching here at Battle Plan and Active Faith about things that happened and changed and some breakthroughs in their life and their family when they staked their house. So, Kirsten, welcome. Thank you for coming. And I'll just let you kind of tell how you heard about us and then what began to happen. Give us, I knew you had so many things happen. Give us a 40,000 foot overview so you can cover more of the story. And then we may someday delve deeper into some individual parts if you have time. But mainly, I thought I'd just let you tell what happened, how you found us, and kind of give an overview of the things that happened when you applied the principles we teach.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you for having me. Our story, our journey with spiritual warfare started around the fall of 2021. It was kind of during that whole COVID timeframe, and we had some major sickness that popped up in our family. So that fall, my daughter got very sick from like a post-COVID infection. She had something called POTS. I can't even tell you the very long name of it, but that was causing a lot of issues with her health. And then she was also diagnosed with something called juvenile idiopathic arthritis. And she was very sick, and we were in and out of the hospital, and they wanted to do some pretty aggressive treatments. I also was battling myself with some health issues, with some thyroid tumors and lots of other health issues. And then as we're dealing with those two things, my son, my 10-year-old son at the time, got very sick in that spring with Lyme disease. And he was bedridden for quite a few months, and he was very, very sick. So now I'm dealing with health issues, my daughter, now my son, and we were in and out of the hospital, having a team of doctors, working with a doctor in California. It was very difficult.
And how many kids do you have in all?
Yeah, so I have five. So
all
we
right,
have
so two of the
five children.
Five are sick. You're still taking care of three more and a husband. And here you are dealing with personal illness and two of your children. So, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so we had those two were really sick. We found some things around our property that were possibly making us sick as well. We found mold in our house. Our water was contaminated due to some farm chemicals. And there was also like a very strange parasite issue. Dealing with all those things that was contributing to our health, that we had to move out of our house for a little bit, do some renovations. And then that summer, as we were kind of navigating both my kids being sick, my son being the most sick at this time, our next daughter, who was six at the time, started having seizures to make things even more difficult.
Wow.
And so she started having absent seizures, which weren't as severe as like, you know, a grand mal seizure, but they were happening multiple times a day. And I was so weary and just broken because we've been doing all the things to help our kids and renovate our house and get clean water, air, all the things. And my kids remained ill. And a friend of mine who you had the chance to meet, Nicole, she was dealing with a good friend of hers who was actually dealing with cancer. And she has a miraculous story of healing, but she really challenged me one day and said, "Kirsten, do you think this is spiritual warfare?" And spiritual warfare was not something that I'd never heard of before. Actually, I was raised in a Christian home. I read This Present Darkness, the Screwtape Letters, all the different things. And
yep.
I knew that it was alive and it was active. But even though my kids were sick, I was sick, we're having this, all these house problems too. It never really occurred to me that, yeah, this is definitely a spiritual attack. And so she challenged me and said, Kirsten, I really feel like you could be under spiritual attack and that the enemy is after your family. And I was kind of dumbfounded by that, but I was really intrigued. And I was like, you're right. And she was telling me the story of her good friend and who was dying of cancer and just the belief that she had. And she is someone who just has belief like I've never known someone to have, and perseverance. And she's like, you know, I said, well, how do I have belief, like full belief that God's going to heal my kids and take care of this situation? I was like doubting. And it sounds so silly now because obviously God can do it and he has done it. And so he really, through Nicole, he, you know, challenged me to think that I was really struggling with unbelief in the Lord of healing. And so I went home that night, told my husband this miraculous story that she had shared with me about her own situation and friend. And I just said to my husband, I said, I think we need to ask for forgiveness that we've been praying all wrong this whole time. We've been praying that our kids would get into remission and we wouldn't have to do cancer treatments for my daughter and that our house would, you know, issues would resolve and all these different things. But we realized that we really needed to ask for forgiveness, that we needed to believe that God could heal and that he was going to
You know,
do the things that he wanted to do.
Let me interrupt you and just, I love how you worded that. And it reminds me of the fact that Jesus didn't do many miracles where there was no faith. And those people thought they had faith. In the villages where we know the Bible says they didn't have faith. That's why there was no miracles there, or few. And so they would have argued with that. And yet we know that's the reason. And so belief that God will not, I guess you could say it this way, God won't violate your belief. If you believe he doesn't heal, if you believe he doesn't give dreams, then guess what? You won't have dreams and you won't see healing. But if you believe he can, then, and you're open to that possibility, then that's the perfect field of dreams for miracles to happen. So I want to just reemphasize that. Now go ahead and continue with your story. I think that's an important point.
Yeah, it is. And it's so we got home that night. We really repented of that. Like, we really need to believe that God's going to heal and take care of the situation and stop praying like, please, Lord, heal my son. But really, like, no, I declare that you're going to heal him. And things. So our prayer started to change, but that night was it was a very interesting night because that night my son, who was quite bedridden at this point, we were carrying him up and down the steps and into the car because he had horrible, horrible joint pain. And so he ended up coming up two flights of stairs and said, Mom, I had a really scary dream. I'm so scared. And our 2.5-year-old sleeps in the room next to ours. And I said, why don't you go sleep in her room? I'll bring her in with us. That way you're up here, because his brother, who's also in the basement with him, his room is down there, was gone that night. And I didn't want him to be scared by himself. So he went and slept in Olivia's room. And that next day we had a really busy day. We homeschool. And so we had a field trip and we had a pumpkin farm. It was just busy, busy, busy. So I never had a chance to ask him about the dream the next day until that following night. So that night, I'm downstairs talking with him and he said, Mom, I got to tell you about my dream. And I said, yeah, buddy, what was that about? And he goes, so I had a dream. I think it was a dream, but I saw a demon over me, over my bed. It looked like Satan or a demon, something really scary, keeping me safe. And I was like, oh my goodness, because he didn't know about the conversation that I had had with Nicole, nor did he know that my husband and I had just prayed for belief. And also we prayed that the Lord would show us if there was a spiritual attack that we weren't paying attention to that night before, the night that he had the dream.
And he said the demon was keeping him sick.
Yes. Yes. And so he told us about this dream. And what's really interesting is during this time of him being very sick for about 6 months there, he couldn't, all summer, he couldn't do sports. He couldn't really play outside. He had horrible pain. memory issues, chronic headaches, all these different symptoms. But one thing that he could do is he could lay in bed and read. And so he actually started reading through the whole Bible, and he read through the entire Bible during that time of being sick. He had Bible tabs and highlights. I mean, his Bible has more tabs and highlights probably than mine, and I'm 42, which is sad. But he certainly studied God's word. And so his Bible was always right next to on his dresser. And that night he said, "Mom, when I woke up, where do I always keep my Bible?" And I said, "Always on your dresser." He goes, "It wasn't there." I said, "What do you mean it wasn't there?" He goes, "I went to the bathroom after I woke up from the scary experience, went to the bathroom, and the Bible was on top of the toilet seat." I said, "On top of the toilet seat?" He goes, "Yeah, Mom, I've never shut the toilet seat in all of my life." And I was like, "That's true, 10-year-old boy. They don't ever do that. We have no idea how the Bible ended up there, but he picked up the Bible and he said, I felt peace. And I walked upstairs and told you about my dream." And he was able to walk up the stairs, which all of this pain would have been difficult for him to do.
Yeah.
So as I'm talking to him, my husband's upstairs putting the littlest one to bed. And I call him and I said, "Come down here. You got to hear the story." And in the meantime, I remembered my conversation with Nicole 2 days prior, or the day before, I guess would have been the day before. And I remember her talking about unbelief, right? This common thing that just kept coming in my mind. And I said, "Where in the Bible does it talk about unbelief?" So I just prayed about it, and I searched on Google, unbelief, whatever, and it popped up with the story of Mark 9. And I start reading it out loud to my son. And I'm reading the story of Mark 9, and there's things in that story that I've read that story multiple times as a Christian that I never have picked up. And it's about the story of the man with the demon-possessed boy. And the boy, you know, is being thrown into the fire, et cetera. And the father goes to Jesus and says, "If you can help me, if you can help us, you know, help my son." And Jesus looks at him and is like, "If I can, you know," and he's like challenging him to believe.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, help my unbelief." And I'm reading that, but what's really interesting is that in that story, it says that this demon would seize the boy. And all of a sudden, I started thinking about my daughter having seizures, that these had just popped up. And I'd read that story before, never noticed the word seized. And I thought, wow, this is so interesting. And how even the disciples, you know, couldn't rid this particular demon, you know, and Jesus said at the end of Mark 9, like, this one took, you know, extra prayer that Jesus needed or whatever. And so that was just incredible, like eye-opening to us. I'm like, we're dealing with a spiritual. We prayed the night before that we would be aware if there was something spiritual happening. God opened our eyes to it so blatantly. And we're like, okay, what do we do now? So prayed about it some more. He went to bed. And then the next morning, my good friend Nicole, not knowing about his dream, not knowing about like a repentance of unbelief with the Lord, she sends me this podcast. And it's the podcast of you were being interviewed by Jocko on the podcast about the stakes in spiritual warfare. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I'll listen to that. So that morning, my son and I were doing some chores outside. And I said, "Why don't you come help me?" And a lot of times he would just sit and watch me do chores, but he was actually helping. And he and I listened to it. And my husband's a farmer. So it was October. So he was out harvesting and the other kids weren't around that day. They were at a friend's house or something. And so it was just him and I. And so we listened to that podcast about the stakes and about the little girl who was having the dream with Ligba, I think is the demon name. And I was like, this is wild to me. And so that night my husband got home, him and I listened to the podcast and we're like, we're going to order these stakes. And so I don't know if we ordered them that night, but a few days later we ended up ordering them. And then, you know, we're like, okay, we need to believe that our son's going to be healed. And we're also need to know that there's a spiritual battle here that's happening. So I started looking up other things that we could do, kind of symbolizing the same thing of the stakes, but I found an article about anointing your house with oil. And so I'm like, okay, well, we don't have the stakes yet, so we'll anoint the house with oil. So we did as a family. We went through every room, every door, And we started just taking olive oil. We prayed over that olive oil, and we went back to the scripture about, you know, the lamb's blood, you know, with the Israelites, and just kind of going through that same principle that this would be a spiritual protection. And then we anointed our kids with oil. Now, a few months prior, we had gone to our pastors at our church, and they anointed our family with oil because there was so much sickness. And they prayed over us and anointed us with oil, you know, the verse about, you know, calling upon the elders. And they did that. But this time we did it in our home and we did it over our children. And as we were doing that, our dog was outside and she was barking and she was just going crazy. And we're like, what is she doing? Come inside. We live on an acreage and we don't have a lot of neighbors, but we're like, this is out of control. Like, why is she barking? And so we'd call her in and she wouldn't come, and she'd come up to the front of the porch and then she'd look at me and she'd run back down and then just start barking like there was something out there. And it occurred to us that as you're anointing our house with oil, were there spirits being sent out of our house? And that's why she was barking. I don't know, but it made sense, because when I went out there later that day or that night after we had anointed our house with oil, our kids with oil, I went outside and she's barking. And I went out and I said, in the name of Jesus, flee from here and go away. And as soon as I did that, the dog came inside, laid down on the floor,
relaxed,
and relaxed.
I have seen
And
that many times, so that's a common theme. I really haven't done any podcasts on that really, but that has happened multiple times. So, okay, so how did the kids do? How was the health after all this?
Yeah, so what we did is we prayed and we fully believed, I think, for the first time, you know. And I grew up in a church that, you know, you pray for God's will and you just pray God's will, God's will, God's will. But we don't always, I was never taught to declare healing over my family through Jesus's power, through the power of the Lord. And so that night we prayed that our kids would fully be healed, that our daughter would have no more seizures, that our son would be able to walk with no pain, and that my other daughter who was sick continued to get well, and she was doing much better at that point. And so the next morning my son walks up the steps and he goes, Mom, the pain, it's gone. I don't have any pain. And I said, what do you mean you don't have pain? And I'm like, it worked, like this is amazing, you know. And he's like, no, my pain's gone, Mom. I have no pain. And all of his pain was gone. No ankle pain. He wasn't dizzy anymore. All of his headaches were gone. His eyes looked normal again. It was miraculous. My daughter has not had a seizure since the day we anointed the oil. That was 2 years ago this October.
Wow. And how has your health progressed?
Yeah, my health, I went in and had my thyroid tumors checked, and I had no cancerous ones, praise the Lord, and mine are shrinking, which they said doesn't always happen. I had several. So, so all of the health changes immediately stopped the day we anointed our kids with oil.
Wow. Man, that is such an amazing story. And you know what? I think you have a list of stories, and we're just at the beginning of the list. The way our podcast is done, we've kind of gone a lot longer today than we usually do, but I wanted to do that and hear your story. But I'm kind of thinking that this series of life events that you have been through with your family and your kids, in the middle of all that, you were homeschooling too. You didn't even mention that at the first.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, sick children and other children to take care of, and you were sick and all these things. And then what a turnaround your life had for their health and your health, and for the overall family, and the dog's response to this. I mean, all the ingredients are just what we teach about, and you're just kind of a perfect, I'd call it textbook example. But I think we'd like to have you back. I know we have a lot of listeners from, last time I looked, it was 155 countries all over the world that are listening to our podcast. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to kind of pause the story and let people digest what you've already shared. And one day soon, when you have time again, I know you're a busy mom and you homeschool and everything too, I'd love to have you back and kind of do a part two and maybe even a part three of the journey you've been on, because I know you have some other great stories to share. But thank you so much for taking the time today to be with us on the podcast. Thank you for the encouragement that you're bringing to many other moms who are dealing with issues. We have so many children with so many issues. We have issues in the home. We have dogs barking for no reason and nobody understands why. And there's just a spiritual connection through all this. And I just commend you for your belief and for your declaration of God's power in your situation. One of the things we teach often about is praying the blood of Jesus. And you applied the blood in a very unique way through your story so far. So thank you for sharing that. We want to have you back again someday. I know the listeners would love to hear part two of your journey. And you know what? You're still living that journey. You're helping other people, and you've got stories connected with other people that you haven't told us yet. So we want to thank you for being here today, and we'll look forward to having you back another time. Thank you, podcast listeners, for staying with us today for Kristen's amazing story. We'll have her back for a part two one day soon. And I want you to keep remembering that prayer works. God loves you, and I love you. Have a great day.